The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, still doing his thing. In for the vacation in Kelly Bidlin. Wyatt Tomchek, the voice of UNLV women's basketball, was happening.
Another beautiful day. It's crack day.
Crack day. Zach and Crack coming up. Zach Cohen. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, of course. It is Bet Bash week, so we will have Matt Buckalter in today from Plus EV Analytics. It's kind of been an annual tradition for Matt to come over during Bet Bash to give his alternate season win totals plays in the NFL. We've talked about this for a long time on this show. Drew Dinsick actually deserves the credit. He was the first person to sort of lock into this, how the alternate season win totals market is probably what you ought to look at first when doing pre-flop bets in the NFL, because the notion that those are priced correctly is probably a fallacy. And so Matt has a method of arriving at his, which has been quite successful. I think 2 years ago he was ridiculously successful. Last year, maybe not quite, but also successful, as I recall. But it has to do with coordinators and coaches and whether they stick from 1 year to another or they change. We'll get into all that with him. Plus, I think he has a comment on a couple of awards markets as well. And Joe Fortenbaugh from Daily Wager, old friend, which I'm not sure if we have him on Skype, but we won't be able to see if he has a mustache or not. Which is the big thing that we always like to see with Joe.
When I was doing the photo, you know, you got to do the photo for somebody who's on the phone. I was like, I got to find a good mustache photo, and I just was unable. That's a really 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 healthy stash right there.
Did the White Sox just fire Pedro Grifo, their manager? Did this just happen? Pedro Grifo, the White Sox manager, has been let go.
Is that almost a good thing for him? It's like, oh, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
I believe you said this off air. You said right as he was getting them rolling.
They're now on a losing streak. The streak lasted only one game.
They snapped a 21-game losing streak, which tied the American League record for that kind of failure. Did get a win, but then lost again last night. 28-89 on the season. Is that good? I'm told that's not good.
You know, some people have 28 wins by, like, the month of May.
Yeah, no, it's true. Very true.
Ooh.
So he has been relieved of his duties. That's the breaking news. All right, so here's the deal. Last night, you know, I do my tennis handicapping every night, and I usually go men's side, then women's side. And every match I take a look at based on the data. And on the men's side last night, I didn't like anything. I didn't like anything at all. And then went out to dinner, went to the Legacy Club for Bet Bash last night. So I was sort of lulled into this thing where it's like, the men's side wasn't anything there. Because it's all, by the way, the men are in Montreal. And it was just, you know, it's the round where it's like a lot of big favorites, but they're all kind of justified. And then I went to the ladies' side and I'm like, are these numbers for real? At least according to my numbers, there is a lot of opportunity on some of these matches today. And so it's been great since grass season. Again, it's been nothing but positive in terms of the matches. And by the way, can you do this for me, Wyatt? Next year, can you just, once grass season starts, could you just send me a reminder not to bet it at all?
About July?
It's like 5-6 weeks starting, you know, late June, early July.
I got you. Do we need a petition to make it turf?
Well, no, you can let them have it. I just need to roll it back. But, you know, once it's clay or hard courts, it tends to work out well. And so today, look, I could fall flat on my face with these, but I have six plays, and many of them are dogs. Four of them are dogs. One is a gigundous dog, as Todd Wishnev would say. Let me just get through them. Moyuka Uchijima I have at plus 261 against Ludmila Samsonova. I used to pronounce it Samsonova, but I'm told it's Samsonova. Again, numbers play. Uchijima's hard court data is very good. Samsonova always a dicey proposition on the other side. So plus 261, that's what, again. And these are all at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, all of their bets are at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. By the way, Uchijima at plus 249, still very playable. I'm doing these from bottom up now. Peyton Stearns plus 264 going up against Maddie Keys. Maddie Keys at her best should take down Peyton Stearns. But Maddie Keys has had injuries, and when she comes back from injuries, she tends to, what's the technical term for this? Stink. So Peyton Sturge plus 264, flyer on her against Maddie Keys. Marta Kostyuk, I didn't expect this to come through because Elena Svitolina is very good. Elena Svitolina, Gael Monfils' wife. Marta Kostyuk plus 151 is a play against Svitolina. Katie Bolter is the one favorite on the board. Got her at minus 132 against Beatrice Haddad Maia. Let me see where Bolter is right now. By the way, on Stearns is plus 194. So again, pays to be a subscriber because this was plus 264 when I put it in last night. I would still play it at plus 194. Don't let it get too much, less than that. In terms of Kostyuk at plus 151, she's plus 138. Don't let that get lower than plus 130. Bolter at minus 132. This is what I'm worried about. Again, CLV so far on all of these. You know what that means. Bolter's the exact same price. You can pay her at minus 132. And then there's this at the top. And I'm playing this two ways. Aryna Sabalenka, favorite to win the tournament, is going up against Yue Yuan. Yue Yuan. I took Yue Yuan plus the games at plus 6.5 games for the match against the great Aryna Sabalenka, minus 125. I also couldn't believe, and I know what you're thinking, you're like, really, Gil, you think she's going to beat Sabalenka? Based on the numbers, this ought to not be anywhere close to what it is. She's plus 924. What? How is that possible? By the way, look now, she's plus 838. Still play it. Once you get that high, it's really not as big of a difference as it seems. But those are the six plays. So two in the Yue Yuan-Sabalenka match, both on the games and on the money line. Bolter's the favorite, and then three dogs, Kostyuk, Stearns, Uchijima, not quite the prices they were yesterday, especially in the case of Stearns going up against Maddie Keys, but I'd still play them all, just don't let them fall anymore. So six tennis plays, all on the ladies' side in Toronto today on the tennis tour. Baseball, of course, Mets did win last night for the August monthly bet, so the Mets get to 500 on the early stretch of the month. So they're like in 10th place here in the early going. Again, way too early update on standings. Quite frankly, we know that. But just in case you were wondering, you have bets on these teams. Diamondbacks with their sweep of the Guardians yesterday in a doubleheader, 5-1 right now in the lead. And the Cubbies are the only other team with five wins. They're 5-2. So D-backs, who won July, won it outright at Circa, dead heat with the Mets in July at William Hill Caesars. They're off to another great start, 5-1. I'm telling you, man, Diamondbacks, you should not be surprised if they get back to the World Series. You really should not be. Diamondbacks 5-1, Cubs 5-2. Padres, Twins, Red Sox, Giants. Giants, adorable, still chugging along. And Royals, all with four wins. And then it goes Brewers, Yankees, and then the Mets right now, 3-3 in 10th place. Again, early. But this gives us entree, Wyatt, just to, when we track these, to just take a glance. And I wanted to bring you into this because Will Hill texted something about his Yankees yesterday, which is, isn't it amazing that the Yankees, at the moment he texted it, I think they had the best record in baseball, but after the end of the night, still, as bad as, so I'm just going to go through these, and you tell me which is the most Meshuggah thing in your mind when you think about what the perception is of baseball right now and what the actual standings is. So the Yankees, despite their massive swoon in June and July, mid-June, all throughout the month of July, despite their massive swoon, and despite the Orioles' inability to make any, space between themselves and that Yankee swoon, to take advantage of that, the Orioles and the Yankees are only a half game behind the Phillies for the best record in Major League Baseball, despite all of that. All right, so that's choice number one. I'm going to ask you, which is the most Michigan of all this? The fact that the Yankees and Orioles are still only a half game behind the Phillies for the best record in entire Major League Baseball. Choice number two, this one's a little out there. Think about what you think about the Los Angeles Angels and the Oakland A's. They suck, right? Both those teams. The Angels are only, in quotes, only 9 games out of first place in the AL West, and the Athletics are only 12 out. I know that's still like a long way, but I think most people think of those teams as so bad that they'd be like 25 out.
Be like the White Sox.
The Angels are 9 games out of first place. I'm saying, in an AL West where the Astros now lead by a half game, by the way. All right, that's choice number two. Choice number three is that your Braves, sorry about this, are now only a half game into the playoff picture. They're the third wild card spot. They're only a half game ahead of the Mets. That's choice number three. Choice number four, you know the Dodgers, the big bad Dodgers? Mm-hmm. They only have 3 game leads over both the Diamondbacks and the Padres here on August 8th. 3 game leads, that's it. And your final choice, in terms of which is the most Michigan, the Guardians, for as great as they were early in the season, we had them in March, April, we had them in May, only a 3.5 and 4-game lead, respectively, over the Twins and the Bobby Witt-led Royals. And let me just say this again before you answer this about Bobby Witt. Since June 30th, he is hitting .464. That's a batting average. .464, 58 hits, 10 homers, 31 ribbies, 36 runs scored. By the way, he hit 2 homers last night. But you still can't bet him for MVP because Aaron Judge exists. What's the, of all those things, what to you is the most startling?
Well, the reason why the Mets are within half a game is because the home plate umpire for the Braves and Brewers games, he needs to be shot to the moon. He was awful last night. But nonetheless, I think it's the Dodgers. For as great as we thought, you know, LA started this year. I know injuries have really hampered them, but they spent so much money on Ohtani. And they're only 3 games up on the Diamondbacks and the Padres. Like, wow, that is very surprising to me. Like, the Padres, for how bad they were at the beginning of the year, were like, well, it was just kind of that one-year run. Like, this NL West race is very interesting.
A lot of injuries. Obviously, Freddie Freeman was absent for a bit because of his son's ailment. But I might agree with you on that. I think that would surprise the casual fan the most if they just popped up now. Diamondbacks and Padres just 3 games behind the Dodgers in the NL West. And all of this to say, as I have been all week, it's the most wide-open baseball season in early August that I think I can remember, where there is not a single team, not a single team in baseball has a win percentage of .600. And it is a free-for-all, and you ought to be betting accordingly with futures. Normally, I wouldn't say, hey, go crazy on futures. Go crazy on futures. Take some swings. We'll come back. Zach Cohen next with all of his plays.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Always a pleasure to have this gentleman on with us. I keep misspeaking, by the way. Wyatt, you're right. I was saying I was calling it Daily Wager, but it was Daily Wager when it was here in Las Vegas. Now that they're back at the mothership, they went to ESPN Bet Live to match the sportsbook ESPN Bet. He's our old buddy. Not only does he work on ESPN Bet Live, you can see him on SportsCenter all the time. He's always joking with the anchors. Some of them, you know, some of them probably like him better than others when they do that. I'll be honest with you. We'll get his reaction to that momentarily. But he's also part of the Carlin versus Joe show on ESPN Radio. That's Carlin versus Joe. It's very antagonistic. It's our buddy Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Joe?
Great intro, great welcome. That's exactly how you do it. You lay out all the great stuff. You make the guests sound really big so that inevitably when I flop during this segment, they'll still have a positive memory of a great introduction.
Well,
great to be with you guys. How the hell are you?
We're great, man. But what I left out is, what's the deal with the mustache, man? What are you doing with that?
Okay, so it doesn't look good. I'm going to be clear about that, and I know that. And for some reason, despite the fact that I do this every year, people just feel the need to tell me how bad it looks. Yeah, I get it. Mustaches don't look good. I grow it when I'm on vacation because it would be very weird to grow out a mustache while you're appearing on TV every day. It would just look lazy and sloppy, and then all of a sudden one day it's like, oh, that's what you were doing. Oh, okay. I tie it to my Survivor pick. So I go on vacation in the summer. I don't shave at all. One year, a few years ago, I looked at myself in the mirror. I go, this could be funny. My kids have never seen me with a mustache. So I just kind of left it. And everyone laughed. And I figured, all right, let's ride this out a little bit. And then I just kind of turned it into a bit. So the mustache stays as long as my Survivor pick lasts.
Wow.
Good news for people who hate the mustache.
Okay.
I tend to get my butt kicked out of those contests relatively quick. 2 years ago, I got eliminated in week 1 with the Niners against the Bears. Last year, I was out in like week 4. So if you don't like it, don't worry. It won't be around very long.
No, I like that. So Fortenbaugh in on the joke, and then without even having to say anything, we will know if he's still alive and survivor or not. I like that. That's a good strategy.
There you go.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get to your favorite preseason, your favorite pre-flop NFL play that you have made, sir. What do you like?
I've got a few. I'm with the public on the Bears over the 8.5 with the win total, and I don't care. I know a lot of times, oh, the public bets. The public, it is big trouble. I could not care less. I love everything about this team this year, and it's not that I'm drooling over Caleb Williams. I'm really not. I think the handicap gets them to 9 wins with Williams being an average to above-average quarterback. I don't think this team is going to need a 5,000-yard passer to have 9 wins of success this year. They won 7 last year closing strong, 5-3 over their last 8. Schedule this year is a lot easier. It's like top 4 in terms of ease. So you should be able to navigate that and find some favorable spots on that schedule, right? Your defense is going to be a top 5 unit, in my opinion. I don't think a lot of people realize how loaded they are, especially after they brought Montez Sweat over last year. And then if you're a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, you're stepping into a great situation. I mean, how many rookie quarterbacks come out and their wide receiving unit is DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze with DeAndre Swift added in the backfield? Now, there are problems. Number one, is Matt Eberflus a great head coach? We don't know. We do know there's a rookie quarterback, obviously, and that offensive line still has some question marks. But in terms of getting to 8 wins, I'm there. Denver to be the worst team in the NFL, 6-1, I played that. I'd also go under the 5.5 wins. Getting rid of Russell Wilson was like the big win for them. Congratulations. But because you have such a big dead cap charge, you weren't able to bring anyone in to help you out. You lost Lloyd Cushenberry on the offensive line. You lost Simmons at safety, Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver. You didn't really add anyone. The schedule's not easy. Bo Nix at quarterback, that could work out at some point, but he doesn't have a lot of weapons. And I don't know if he's that great to begin with from a pro prospect perspective. So I think Denver's in a world of trouble. So those are 2 off the top that I could throw at you. But, I mean, obviously we could talk all day long about this.
Well, no, I want to react to both of those. One, I'm with you on the whole Denver Broncos thing. And if those who listen to this show know that I find Sean Payton to be a reprehensible human being. Before that, about the Bears, you know, you asked rhetorically, and I'm sure it was rhetorical, about, you know, what quarterback comes into as great of a situation as this. In terms of Caleb Williams coming into the Bears, we, you know, which is a stacked offense, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, plus Rome Odunze, you know, et al. The answer, I think there is actually an answer. Someone was talking about this, and it was, I want to give Aaron Schatz credit for this, at FTN. Dante Culpepper with Randy Moss and Chris Carter is the only answer anybody could come up with.
Hell yeah.
That's the only one,
hell
though.
Yeah. That's a great one, too.
Yeah.
And that goes back like 20 years, but that's fantastic.
Yeah, so, and by the way, I don't think Culpepper started immediately either. I think it took a while for him to get in. So this really, in terms of like right off the bat, is probably unique in that respect.
Yeah.
I know we never ask this question because we're too cool for school when we're doing betting content to ask this. But like ultimately, I think the most interesting thing about coming into the season is as much analysis as any of us can do. And last year, Lord knows, like, I mean, some of the analytics sites, the Ravens and the Niners were historically epic, like ranked as two of the great teams of all time. And yet, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid still exist. So when I ask you, when you do all this analysis and if I ask you, okay, well, who do you think probably rises to the top when all is said and done? Does that linger in the back of your mind? Like, God, I'm going to say teams, but then I know that the looming specter of Mahomes is always there. So why would I say anybody else?
You know what, to be honest, it's one of the reasons why I don't make a lot of like to win bets, future bets on the AFC or the Super Bowl. Like I like season win totals. I like yes, no playoffs. I'll be in on a lot of player props. But with the Chiefs looming there, like I've tried to get cute in the past where it's like, well, they're coming off the Super Bowl. You know, they're a little overvalued and I'll go deep into the numbers and try to give some great arguments and then they'll just go win the whole thing. And you sit there and you're like, yeah, that was pretty obvious. But then you get it in your head where it's like, if you pick them, well, right, you're picking the favorite. How often does that work out? So you do these mental gymnastics. And I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I got plenty to gamble on here. I don't know if I necessarily even need to involve this. So if I might find an AFC shot that, and I haven't found it this year, but that offers like a really good price that I could see making some noise and gives me a good hedge out opportunity. Sure. But no. And I can tell you, like, I'm not going to play a team like the Ravens. They've made it clear who they are. So there are certain teams I'm not getting on. And then with the Chiefs, I'm not going against them. So you're basically left with your hands in the air. And it's like, you know what? I'll just play something else, right? I'm not going to force it. You're right. It is in my head.
Yeah. I mean, and how could it not be for all of us, right? So it's this sort of, you know, a joker in a game of war. It's out there, and it trumps all. Did you have any opinions on any awards markets, Joe, or do you usually wait to play any of those?
The MVP award market, I've got to play on Matthew Stafford at 30-1.
Wow.
I'm not as high on it as I was. I still like the bet, but the thing is, it goes hand in hand with how I feel about the Niners. I played the Niners under 11.5 wins. I have a small position on the Niners to make the playoffs. I think there's a big regression coming for San Francisco. Now, it has nothing to do with Ayuk. A lot of people will conflate those two. Oh, so if they lose Ayuk, you don't like him. No. It's not that. I mean, that hurts, obviously. And it's mostly based on this. A couple of key factors. Number one, they were a really healthy team last year. All right? Like, they went to the Super Bowl. And a lot of times the team loses the Super Bowl, and there's this narrative about, oh, that team is cursed. The Super Bowl loser, they do so poorly the next year. It's not like it's a curse. There's pretty good reasoning as to why it happens. And one of them's health. If you're going to make a deep run in the playoffs and you're going to make the Super Bowl, chances are you were a healthy team. If you're healthy in the NFL, chances are next year that's going to regress a little bit. Just like if you're the Ravens 2 years ago where you're rattled by injuries, the following year you're probably going to be a healthier team. It's just regression to the mean. The Niners were really healthy last year. McCaffrey's been healthy each of the last two seasons. The 2 years before that, he was very injury-plagued, right? Debo tends to get dinged up. Trent Williams is 36 at left tackle. George Kittle's missed time before. Drake Greenlaw is not playing linebacker this year, at least not early in the season because of the injury in the Super Bowl, right? Nick Bosa has gotten dinged up. You look at them, if you trade Ayuk and then you have an injury here and an injury there, suddenly things can get away from you. Scheduling-wise, they're going to play eight opponents that have a rest advantage against them. So I'm down on the Niners this year, which in turn has me high on the Rams. Now, they're going through a lot of injuries on their own on the offensive line right now. So there's a little bit of pause, but I played the Rams to win the division. I like the Rams to make a little bit of a run. They addressed some of their concerns in the offseason. And I can't help but think that if somehow this is Matthew Stafford's last year in the NFL, he's one of those all-time good guys. People like the story. People like the family. You know, the wife battling back from cancer, all that stuff. I'm not trying to bring that into the handicap, but if they find out he's going to retire after the year, there's the good guy narrative around that if he's able to win enough games and put up some numbers. So Stafford right there is one of the plays I'm making in terms of the MVP market.
Joe, 20 seconds. SportsCenter anchor that loves when you go off script and joke with him the most and the one that wants to kill you. Who are they?
Randy and Gary, without question, love it when you go off script. L. Duncan as well. In terms of the ones that want to kill you, that's what I'd have to think about because most of them are very, very fluid and they like that. They encourage it. So, plus, I'm not dumb enough to give you a name and burn myself.
Damn it. I thought I had him. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN's Bet Live and Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Joe, more energy next time, okay?
I'll try my best, Gil. Thank you so much for having me.
Joe Fortenbaugh, at Joe Fortenbaugh. Very subdued. Very subdued. Crack is next, unscripted, on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com. Game Plus. Got your home guy, Matt Buchalter, on there from Toronto. iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Thank you, Game Plus, by the way. We love Canada. Game Plus goes down through New York as well. So a lot of folks in New York City see us on Game Plus. Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacation in Kelly Bidlin. Kelly will be back next week. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from folks. Best listeners in the game. This is from Russell Smith. Played your tennis straight and took a shot. Oh, no, he parlayed a few of these. Took a shot with Stearns, Bolter, and Uchijima. Or does that say 100? That can't be 120-1. Maybe he means 12-1 on that. I think he means 12-1. To win, then he added, okay, maybe it is 121 because he added Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to hit a home run today. He has four lifetime versus Dean Kramer. How dare you fade the great Dean Kramer who's on the leaflet. GV at New Jersey, New York. Braves only being up a half game above the Mets, as you were talking about, and as a result, barely in the playoffs, is up there in terms of which of those standing scenarios is the nuttiest to you. As someone who watches the Phillies every night, yeah, can't believe this team is still top of MLB in win percentage. You wouldn't think that after the last month. That's what I was trying to get at, GV, which is I think a lot of that, if you glance at the MLB standings right now, the baseball standings, there's so much there that's like, wow, that team is still there or that team is that close to the other because it is a complete logjam. It is just a scrum of teams this year, both American League and National League. And, again, we ought to be betting accordingly. This is from, Teddy Rack. I add 3 years to my VSiN subscription, and the next day I get Joe Fortenbaugh on ANG. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Chris Heath, truly getting old with a Bill Romanowski phone dial. Oh, did Fortenbaugh hit his phone with a cheat?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Kind of startled us. I thought you heard it too.
I did at one point.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Joe used to be famous for the quick dial tone at the end of the interview. That was his thing. Like, if you would sign up Joe, he would try to get the dial tone in there before you got off. That was his gig. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. You know what that means. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Billy.
Hey.
What's happening?
Bet Bash Week. Thank you for making time for me.
Come on, man. This guy. Everybody's kind enough. I'm super grateful every Bet Bash
Aren't
week.
People are so nice.
People are so nice. When we were at the South Point, they used to roll down there.
Oh, yeah.
This is much easier because it's just down the street, right?
Yes. Yep.
So I'm super grateful. But come on, man. You think we're going to bump in you for Bet Bash?
Yes.
Yes, he says. Yes, I do think you're going to do
it. I ran into Gil yesterday. He was like, I don't know. He was like blocked out of his car or something. They wouldn't let him leave or something. What happened? So give me the real explanation. I was walking through. I went over to Circa to put my buddy was going to put some entries in for the contest, and I'm his proxy. And you were – I thought they didn't let you in.
No,
but
no,
they wouldn't let you out.
Well, it's neither. It's actually my fault. So okay. I had a meeting at Circa after the show.
All right.
So I go over there, and I realize I haven't been at Circa in so long, which is just down the street, that my card – we have a secret Batcave parking lot.
Okay.
My card was deactivated because I hadn't been there in so long.
So
on the way out, Bill Ady, Miles, Gwynn, they were all kind enough. They're like, oh, we'll do your thing. We'll reactivate your car. But me, stupid me, I forgot that there was one more door I had to go through. So I gave them my card before I had to get through that final door. And so security was like, hey, we'll just have to figure out when you get your card back. So I was like there for you. And you and Alan Boston roll up. Yep. And by the way, one of those two people recognized me. And I'll give you a guess as to who that one that wasn't was. But you and Alan Boston roll up. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, yeah, just trying to get to my car. But it was my fault.
Yeah, no, I took Alan to breakfast. There's a place he showed me. This guy used to cook for Elvis. And he has a restaurant called Norman's Diner on Durango. It's like Durango and Spring Mountain area. But it's great. He has the best eggs Benedict in the world. He's known for it, too.
Is the guy who used to cook for Elvis still there?
Oh, yeah. Norm. Yeah.
Norm is still there.
Norm is still there. And I like to eat anyone named Norm. Like, if you're like Norm, Abe.
Abe?
Yeah, I
like
to eat. Yeah.
You're a big fan.
Yeah, Moish. I'm good.
Moish.
Yeah, I'm eating there. Yeah.
Moish.
By the way, there's a place over there called... It's called Abel's Bagels, by the way. You've heard
Bagels,
of it?
Yes. Well.
Oh, my God.
Abel's Bagels.
They are some of the best bagels I've had, definitely in the town.
How could you go wrong?
Yeah. No, I just great. But, I came in here this morning. I don't know what's going to what you're going to roll up on. These guys had Veasan cheese. Did you see the guys that were here?
Yeah.
They have Veasan T-shirts on.
Veasan T-shirts, yeah.
Good guys. One was from Ohio. I used to fly into Columbus, Ohio all the time. He's from Columbus, Ohio. People were surprised to hear that. Like, my dad was born on a farm. My dad was a farmer. Mm-hmm. Not him, but his parents, my grandparents. And they were country people. So they were on the southeastern Ohio, which is a place that I thought nobody ever heard of, Meigs County, like Pomeroy on the river and you know where else? All my family works in Athens at Ohio University, and where Burrow was from that area, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow. So they're all proud of him, of course. That's a big thing. And football was everything, by the way. When I was used to go to Ohio for the summers, I used to go for the county fairs and the state fair, truck pull, tractor pull, some entertainment. But football games on Saturday, high school football games, my uncles and their children, that was everything to them. Like, everything was based around those football games. So football was so big, so that's why Burrow's a big deal to my cousins and stuff. And he's a big deal anyway. He's a great player. So, but it's nice to see the people so nice. And it's humbling. It's like, wow.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I was at Circa last night at the Legacy Club.
How is that?
Which is where Bet Bash sort of ends every night at Legacy Club upstairs. And, yeah, it's just great to see everybody, great to talk to everybody, people that you have seen recently, people that you haven't, and then people who come up to you from, 7, 8 years ago, like, great to see you again. And you're like, I don't remember.
But you try to be
all
nice.
But also nice, right?
Yeah, real nice, real nice people.
Yep.
Everyone's been asking me things, man. About I haven't. You were off last week, so I wasn't here last week.
Yes, sir.
So, of course, people have been asking me. My number one thing here is about the DK tax and the Caesars guy.
Yes.
The Caesars guy with the $500,000 that said he won $500,000.
Oh,
300
yeah.
and some thousand.
Yes.
I reached out. Let's start with him.
I haven't talked about that yet. Yeah.
I reached out to him.
Okay.
I texted him.
So explain to people what you're talking about. There's a guy on Twitter who posted a video.
Yeah.
He claims to have won $500,000 on a bet. I mean, it was a Celtics bet, was it?
Celtics future.
Yeah.
Close to that, anyway. And, like $400,000 or something.
And he's being escorted out of a casino.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's escorted out of a casino. So I reached out to him because he's like, man, I want my money. I want my money. And he, trust me, lots of it, millions. It got over a million views. People have known about this.
Yeah.
And as much as we are against Caesars right now for me for throwing me out for having a pulse for bleeding red, and you for the different things that happened. Oh,
well,
no.
Mine was the my latest one was the NBA draft when they switched the odds right in front of me.
No, they're listen. Yeah. Let me just be blunt. I would love to throw them under a bus and go after them. In this situation, as of right now, I can't. And I'm always fair to both.
Yes.
I even said, hi, I do multiples. I want to know if you don't want me to repeat it, I will not say it. Not a fan of Caesars currently because they limited me because of previous wins. And he said, what's up, brother?
Yeah.
And then he never got back to me. There's much more to this story.
Uh-huh.
There's much more to this story. Supposedly he said maybe some of our listeners can correspond here. Supposedly he said, well, my bookie bet it for me. And that's like the worst thing you could say is your bookie, someone else bet it for you. Proxy betting here in the Las Vegas would be legal if you go through the proper channels. But there it's not legal the way it went down in North Carolina or South Carolina? North Carolina. So they're not giving him his winnings. But by the way, they're not giving him his post up. So if you're posting up, you know, I don't know what the post up was. $300,000-$400,000. Did not give him the post up money or the winnings. So that's the big story here.
Wow.
Is they're just doing a full scale investigation, and that's probably just a way of trying to rob the guy's post up money, using some loopholes or law things. I mean, honestly, it's not worth the guy. By the way, Caesars used it on their socials. Oh, big winner, one Celtics thing. Is all over the so they used it to advertise with. Honestly, even though the guy didn't get back to me, even though there's more to the story, pay the guy his money. Look what it's done more damage to you guys. It's making me bring up old tweets. Like last night, I brought up an old tweet of your -120 on juice for NFL future. The future games. Look ahead weeks, -120. Nobody does that. You can bet at DraftKings, 110. You can bet at Westgate. I can keep on going, -110. Caesars charges 120. Real nice of you. So, in other words, what I'm saying is they treat you like a sucker in so many different ways. I probably wouldn't have retweeted that last night if I didn't know about this situation. I probably wouldn't have retweeted that. And oh, I only got here. I haven't even checked. I said everyone else won 10 Caesars this effing NFL. So sorry, that's what I put. Last night, 62,000 views, 263 likes. You wouldn't have got that bad press. And that's only me, little me. I don't really get to call myself little much, but little me. So, but listen, think about that. So now, that's just me. I've seen multiple other people going after you guys. I mean, is it worth that much money to you that you want to steal the guy's money?
You know what? I will sort of answer. I think none of these scenarios are good for the books in the end. And in the end, I don't think they care.
That's interesting. I don't think Caesars cares. The management, they just don't care. They know they get all the volume
that's
anyway.
Right.
Very
that's
good
right.
point. It's the line from the Bronx Tale. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. No, very good line. And listen, I'm not saying that I'm not fully taking the guy's side because whoever bet the ticket has to claim the ticket.
Yeah.
Give your ID. You bet it. You claim the ticket.
I mean, and the part about the post up, obviously, you know, give him back his post up when this is all, you know, figured out. But I had a spider sense about the video too, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I was like, I don't know. There's got to be a story here that we're not hearing.
There is.
Yeah,
there
and
is.
Obviously there is. We'll talk about the DK tax, which I'm sure Bill has a word or two to say about. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, it's contest season, and it is coming quick. Winner's Circle Proxy Service got your back. VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest, featuring 16 million guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its ninth year, providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including last year's Survivor and Million contest winners. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest weekend from August 22nd to the 24th, packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now. Book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com. VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin, and Bill Krakenberger. What'd you bet preseason? By the way, the Steve Mackinnon thing I was talking about at VSiN.com. Last year, 49 games, right? Total 2023 NFL preseason. Majority handle on point spreads went 14 and 30 against the spread. The majority number of bets on point spreads went 17 and 32 against the spread. This is when you look at the ticket counts and the handle on splits. Majority handle on totals went 19 and 28. Majority number of bets on totals went 18 and 29. So if you can fade the public, last year was super duper profitable for you. We'll see if that continues into this year. You just gave an example off air about something you gave out
yes.
on the Raiders.
Well, Las Vegas Raiders, I took plus 1.5. One of the sharpest guys back east put that out there. So plus 1.5. And then went to 3 on one shot. Matter of fact, I got to give credit to the Westgate. But if I bet the Westgate something, they move 4.5 points on first move. You're never going to see that any other season, only in preseason football. I took 1.5. They went right to minus 3. I mean, they just know it's going to move. So they're on preseason. They're very smart over there to do that. But so now they go to I think it's Right Angle Sports give it that minus 3. Now it goes to 6. So now the line goes to 6. And then Fezzik comes in with the other side.
Of course he does. Yes.
The other side of the game. And right now it's settled at 4, but it just goes to show you how we both can win.
Mm-hmm.
If the game lands, you know, 4 or 5 or even on the 6 or 3. I mean, you know, both sides can win. And it's something you said before the break that made me think of that. Someone said that fading the public. Is that what you said?
That's what we're just talking about.
Fading the public, yeah. Though. How you could talk about that as far as anything goes, though. Big fades of big syndicate groups when the line moves 3, 4, 5 points. Sometimes both sides are right, you know. So
what have you played that's still relatively available?
Nothing.
Anything? Nothing. It's
nothing.
All gone. It's all
no.
gone.
Yeah. Maybe you got the last bet I made this morning was Cardinals under game 130, Arizona. And that's you can still get 37s right here. You can go. I found a 37.5 at Westgate, but you could still get 37 on the total on the under. But you got to be careful sometimes. You know, years previous, you'd never see this. Kansas City 40.5, San Fran game 39.5, Green Bay 39.5, next game 39. You'd never see those numbers preseason. The numbers were 33,
yeah.
30,
yeah.
29.5, 27.5. But last year, the books got their butt handed to them, having those low numbers. And Steve Fezzik was one of them, well, over on like everything.
Well, there's still like 5 or 6 games heading into this week one of preseason, which are at 34 and 35, right? Somewhere in that pocket. And I never.
Tonight's games.
Tonight's yeah. game is one of them.
Yeah.
So I never, you know, we never talk about this any other time of year, but these three team, what people were doing was these three team 10-point teasers.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, used to be priced at minus 120. Now they're kind of they're gouging you on these. But you tease those down,
yeah.
And you just defy these teams to go lower than 25.
I got
to
be blunt, Gil. Who's taking that? Who's booking that?
Well, that's the thing. So now, it's funny you say that because
yeah.
ever since saying that, they've disappeared in most spots now.
Oh,
and the only ones that still happen, like FanDuel has it, right? But it's like minus 146.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's the problem.
But I'll just tell you guys, since you brought it up,
yeah.
teasers are strong as morphine
yeah.
in this time of the year.
Yeah.
If you can lay 7-point teaser,
yep.
even though you're laying more juice than I'm used to, when I first started betting teasers, 7 points was 115. I had a couple shops 120. And 6-point teasers were always even. I mean, I had five shops that were always even. So now they have decided that, you know, people were doing these standard Wong teasers and winning. But if you can do teasers preseason football, if your shop takes it, and I say your shop because I'm talking about people that bet with a local guy or something, if they're taking teasers, boy, whoo-hoo, they could be strong, man, if you're betting some teasers. Plus 2.5 to plus 9.5, plus 1 to plus 8. And you want to make sure you're playing with a place that teasers, if you get a push, you actually don't lose your money.
Yes.
So, places, if the other side of the game loses by 40, I don't care. You can't have a one-team teaser. I know there's bookmakers in this town that'll fight me on that. You cannot have a one-team teaser. I don't care if the other side lost by 40, the other leg of it. If I am taking plus 8 and it's 8, it's over and done. You get a refund of your money. So, and a lot of the big sites do that. The DraftKings, the FanDuel, even William Hill. We'll give Caesars credit for something. At least they did. Less rules changed there. But even with your guys, request that with your local guys.
Well, the interesting quirk on that. Well, first of all, a couple things. One, a lot of the offshores that would offer the 3-team 10-pointers. When they would make it minus 120, they would say, if there's a tie, you lose, right? They'd throw that in.
Yes.
So you have to be very careful about that.
Very good.
But what you were talking about is there's two teamers where, again, what Bill is saying is if one side pushes and the other loses, is this the scenario you're talking about?
You can't have a one-team teaser.
You can't have a one-team teaser. So I know, like MGM, for instance, you get your money back. There are, I would imagine, a colossal percentage of bettors would not even think to go back and get their refund. They just say, oh, I lost.
Yes.
Right? I lost one leg and I pushed the other.
Dumpster diving. You'll see it.
That's right.
You'll see dumpster diving. Yeah. You'll see dumpster diving when the team ties sometimes because you'll bet the early game and the early game gets blown out by 20. At nighttime, the primetime game, it pushed. And people don't know. They throw their tickets away. They don't really realize what happens. Why are you laughing?
I was saying it's because my old buddy Jay Rude, who used to be the vice president of race and sports at MGM, when he would talk about this, right, he would get so angry about it from his perspective. I'm like, Jay, can't be a one. He goes, I know, but it still pisses me off, he used to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why? They did it.
They always give your money back.
I'll give your money back.
Yeah, they do. Because as you say, you cannot have a one-team.
There's guys in this town. We're sitting in a book. I love Derek and the Circa.
Yep.
There's books in this town like Circa that don't give their money back. I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe the bookmaker can explain. You probably can't explain it because I probably know more than some of the guys in Risk. And I'm not saying Circa. I'm saying in general, these guys that work in Risk nationwide, they don't even. You can't have a one-team teaser.
Nope.
So I'll fight to the day I die for that. That's for the customer trying to give the customer their money back. Everyone else does.
Closing seconds of the first quarter of the first basketball semifinal in the Olympics. Germany up 7 on France. They have kind of led the whole first frame here, led by as many as double digits earlier in the quarter. 25-18 right now. Germany 12.9 seconds left as France tries to come back from the early hole that they find themselves in. You bet a lot of Olympics, or did you bet anything at all?
I really didn't bet too much Olympics. Yeah. A couple prop bets. Nothing really. Nothing really crazy. You bet the Olympics? Did you bet some Olympics?
Not so much. Drew Dinsick comes on and it gives us a lot of Olympic bets. Some of his.
I feel if you bet anything against the United States, it's like so just non-American, you know?
Zach had the bet taking the points against the USA tonight. And in my head, I thought the same. I was like, should I make my mark it down, Zach is anti-American joke, but I decided not to this time. But I feel the same way.
You reserve that for Paul Carr.
I reserve that for Paul Carr.
Thanks to our buddy Marcus here, bringing us in golf tickets, Augusta, bringing us in hats,
yes,
T-shirts, and he's the best. That's the best place to go to get your Augusta tickets every year. He's, matter of fact, he has more rooms, everything in his packages. So golftticketsaugusta.com. So now you're going to do tomorrow you're moderating. Am I right? Is that the right word?
I am moderating. I believe that is the right word. I'll just get out of the way because it's a panel with Billy Walters on it.
How cool.
The greatest sports bettor of them all.
How cool.
But it's about, my first question, honestly, is going to be this. By the way, it's about, we have a former Pennsylvania regulator that's on there.
Oh, nice.
A former government official from West Virginia who was making gaming law. So,
nice.
Well, not a government official, but I guess a government official. And also Alex Kane from Sport Trade.
Yeah.
But my first question is going to be, you know, Billy, you've done it all. Why did you find it important enough to be here for this?
Wow, very nice.
And I think what it is he's as mad as anybody. Like, there should be a voice for the better.
That's good.
In all of this.
And, you know, I've known Billy 25 years.
Yeah.
And I always said it before we were allowed to talk, like, cause everyone was nervous. You can't talk. Now everyone's, you know, I guess everything's fine. We got offshore guys going. It doesn't matter. So Billy has always been such a generous soul to so many people, not just charitable to charities, so many people. I have nothing bad to say. Billy's always been a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just...
Well, people are there for Billy more than anybody.
Yep.
So I am honored that Spanky would have me do that. That's tomorrow.
Cool.
After the show. Billy, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bill Krakenberger. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.